Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to the Proper Gentleman Podcast. This week's episode, we cover the animation utopia that is Cartoon Network. We talk about our favorite and least favorite cartoon shows, read off the first reviews of the upcoming Shazam movie, and have a few choice words for Mr. Zack Snyder. All this and more coming up on the Proper Gentleman Podcast.
So being a manager, I have to interview people, mm-hmm. and there's a guy. Cool. Well, no, not cool. It's boring. And I don't like it. But there was a guy in today who's in his 50s, which we're not supposed to discriminate against age, and not really because he won't fit. But he was like,
you're old,
like super intense.
Really?
It was funny. He worked for the Coca-Cola company, and he comes in, and like after the second question, it's like two pages of questions I have to ask. Mm-hmm. After the second question, I wanted the interview to be done already,
because
really? he was like really, really intense, and like I was like, this guy
next question.
Well, almost. I one of the questions is, talk about a time where you made a mistake at work.
Oh,
and how you dealt with it.
I've never made a mistake, sir.
Yeah, yeah,
I killed a man.
But yeah. But
one time I was killed in a foxhole, man. Vietnam.
Well, he was in the Navy. So
I got
can
a couple.
Sail the seven seas.
I was going to say, I got a couple songs about the Navy.
But so anyway, I ask him the question, and he's staring daggers right at me. And he's like, you ever seen big pallets of soda, of like eight, I can't remember verbatim, but he's like 800 sodas all stacked on top of each other and they fall down. And I was like,
on YouTube.
And he's like, it's like 70 torpedoes looking right at you because somebody didn't wrap up the tap. I was like, hey, dude, calm down. I'm not the one who didn't wrap the tap, okay? Don't get mad at me. Needless to say, we're not hiring him. He just wouldn't be a good fit.
Come to think of it, his name was Steven.
Now I know where I know you from.
You ruined my career.
Laces out, Dan.
All right. Well, I'm going to take it off after that.
Absolutely. Go for it.
All right. Great. So hello, everybody, and welcome back into the Proper Gentleman Podcast. I am your host for this week, Zach Matthews. And with me, as always, are my loyal compadres, in no particular order, Stephen Webster, Jake Villawald, Jeff Wright, and last but not least, Matt Webster.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Last week, we started what are we officially calling it, Jeff? A trivia question challenge?
Trivia Tuesdays.
Okay, we started that last week.
We've got questions on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all a different question on each of those platforms every week. It's going to be a pop culture trivia question. Sometimes it relates to something we've talked about in the past. Sometimes it'll relate to the episode coming up. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be pop culture regardless. And if you tweet us on Twitter, in response to that question, or comment on Instagram or Facebook, the correct answer and hashtag PGP for Proper Gentleman Podcast, you'll get the opportunity to get a shout out on the next upcoming episode
week. Woo! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, absolutely is. Anytime we've name dropped anybody, we get a text or message for them saying, oh my God, you just said my name.
Yes.
people like it.
So it means a lot.
And remember the whole Toys R Us thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've revived many a franchise just with our Rinky Dink
podcast.
We could
say Babe Ruth and he'd be revived tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we had some winners last week. For those of you that don't know, a little behind the scenes, Jeff oversees our Facebook and Twitter account, and then Matt oversees our Instagram account. So Jeff will bounce it over to you, and then Matt will announce the winner on Insta.
Okay.
Well, so we got some good news, bad news on my front. On Facebook, my cousin Taylor, shout out Taylor, she won the question of how many Marvel movies, or not just Marvel movies, how many comic book movies Chris Evans has been in. Yeah. Mm. He's been in a total of 15.
Mm.
So that he's up there with, I think, you know, most comic book movies. But sadly, no one at all responded on Twitter. So, you got the opportunity to be the first.
You guys
winner
are slackers.
On Twitter.
It's a big deal.
Feel free to follow. yeah. Feel free to follow us on Twitter. We're doing this every week. You know, hopefully this upcoming week we get a little bit more responses on that, so I can have another shout out. But Matt, I'll kick it over to you for our Instagram winner.
Yep. So on Instagram last week, we had a trivia question on there for our inaugural Trivia Tuesday. And the trivia question was, which well-known Mortal Kombat character was introduced as a mysterious, unplayable enemy character in the original game? So the answer to that was Reptile. So he's now on like all the games. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the winner was actually my little brother, Tyler Webster. So good job, you knucklehead. Here's your shout-out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week we get winners that are not related to us here at
we
Proper
do.
Gentlemen.
But we will. I mean, we have one already on Instagram, but that will wait until next week.
Oh.
Yeah,
I know
true.
Who it is.
Oh, way to draw them in there, Matt. Very
yeah,
nice.
Exactly.
Ooh, who is it?
And I also like to.
You have to tune in.
Yeah, exactly.
I can also appreciate that while most podcasts would have just, if they didn't have a response on Twitter, would have just looked over it and not mentioned it, Jeff went above and beyond, to be honest, that we had no responses.
We
so.
Had no other choice but
help
to
us
tell
out.
The truth.
Yeah, exactly. Just to bounce off that, I guess, while we're talking about it, just a reminder to all you listeners that haven't done it already, be sure to find us on Facebook. Click the like button at Proper Gentleman Podcast. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter as well at Proper Gents Pod. And also, be sure to visit our website, propergentlemanpodcast.com, because if you need a good fix in a proper gentleman, that's the central hub for yes. All mm-hmm. things props.
And it has props, all, it has links to all
also,
of those meet
follow
social
us
medias
on
as well.
LinkedIn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're on LinkedIn now.
Oh, yeah, we
so
are on
follow
LinkedIn.
Follow us on LinkedIn. I will.
I didn't know we were on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, because that Trivia Tuesdays, that's going to catch fire, because there's so much trivia in our brains mm-hmm. that this is our outlet. And mm-hmm. plus, you get one of those coveted shout-outs.
Yeah.
Yeah, coveted shout-outs
there,
for sure.
There may be some tangible prize in the future
yes.
For those listening. I'm working on the details of that now, but it might be worth doing it now up until an announcement prize. Just might do some backlogging here on my end.
Yeah. So you're talking
he's bluffing,
to the,
ladies and gentlemen.
You're talking to the
no, don't tell them that.
He's talking to the CEO of Nerf, and we got some things cooking with the Nerf boys. So
yeah, some of those whistling footballs.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. So now we're gonna jump into our news of nerdom.
Get those nerds!
Nerd alert!
Okay, all right, here we go. So first little speck of news we got this week, Zack Snyder had some snide, if you will, comments on his iteration of Batman, the Ben Affleck Batman. Did all you gents, were you able to read up
yeah.
on that?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically I'm gonna read just a little bit of what he said. I'm going to bleep. I'm going to skip over the cuss words. Mind you, this is after years of getting the same question. So I'm sure, you know, it's getting a bit tiresome for him.
Years of getting the same question, and also years of like just negativity from
right.
the general audience over his movies, so.
Over his creation. Right. So
yeah. I'm not excusing what he said, sure. but I'm trying to be a little empathetic.
Same. Yep.
Yeah. So here's what he said. So he said, someone says to me, Ben Affleck's Batman killed a guy. I'm like, bleep, really? Wake the bleep up. He said, once you've lost... Oh, boy. I can't read any of this. I didn't really pay
attention. Change our mind, folks. We're not covering.
Yeah. I'm going to set my phone down. Basically, what he said was essentially like, you know, all the comic book fans that have, you know, this the moral compass that Batman's known for about not killing people. He's basically saying that we're, and I'm paraphrasing here, but kind of living in a fantasy world where if those superheroes were real, they would entertain killing
the ends justify the means of sorts.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, it justifies it because it's realistic. So, I know several of us had some choice words. So, Jeff, you're the DC boy. Go ahead.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, you have the floor, man. So, feel free to vent.
I'm not going to do a snapback on this because I'm not... I mean, I am upset with what he said and like how he said it and how he presented it, but it mainly just makes me sad that like, it's funny because I was actually looking on my Facebook memories today, and whenever Batman vs Superman came out, however many years ago today, defending Zack Snyder and his choices in the movies. I was defending him against naysayers on my comments and stuff, and just like, you know, I went to bat for him so many times saying, you know, like, he knows what he's doing. He took all the criticism from Man of Steel and used it as a plot point for Batman versus Superman. He's doing the same thing with Batman, you know, killing people in this movie. He's lost his moral compass. He's grizzled. He's jaded. He's just lost his morality in the 20 plus years he's been in Gotham. You know, he's gonna find that back through Superman and forming the Justice League and all this and that. And it's like, nope. Zack Snyder just thinks realistically he would kill people, and it's not this big grand, you know, redemption arc for him. It's just, nope, F that, F this, you know, you're living a fantasy world if you think Batman and Superman and all these heroes wouldn't kill people. And it's like, no, that's not superheroes. That's not the heroes we read about in the comics. It to me just proves that Zack Snyder doesn't grasp these characters, and I also just think like he doesn't understand what they mean to their fans. Honestly, like, at this point, I'm glad that he's not a part of the DCEU anymore. I was really upset at first, but if this is his approach to heroes, I want him to stay as far away as possible.
Because these comic book superheroes, he made mention of like, this is the real world. It's like, yeah, but a lot of these heroes represent good that could be seen in the real world. A lot of people use them as an escape from the real world. So if you're just if you're just giving if you're just taking a comic book and just making it an extension of this world that already sucks sometimes, then it's like you're not providing an escape, and you're taking away what's so special about these characters for a lot of people. And I mean, I was reading a lot of people's thoughts on it, and they're like, well, I mean, you can't say Batman's never killed because he killed back like when it first started, but then like the moral, you know, there was like this morality police that came along and said he can't kill. But it's like, that's who he turned into, is someone who has this moral compass. So it's like Jeff said, you can't justify this seemingly like character direction in terms of, yeah, he's jaded, that represents the older Batman, but he swings back around and goes back to who he really is. And now Zack Snyder's just another director who took this pre-established, well-loved character and just molded it and did whatever he wanted with it, whatever he wanted with it. So I my biggest complaint is that he's basically taking these characters and just saying, oh, well, you know, life sucks and these characters are part of this world, and kind of taking away that escape for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think like it's honestly like really telling, because when you look at his first like big superhero movie, it was Watchmen. And like, I feel like he's always held on to that. And like Watchmen was a deconstruction of the superhero genre by Alan Moore. So it's like, Alan Moore understood superheroes so much that he was like, you know, when you break them apart, they are flawed characters and flawed beings who fail and do this and do that. And like, that's how they would be in a realistic world. And I feel like Zack Snyder, after doing that movie, he was like, nope, this is absolutely how superheroes are supposed to be. And like, that's like influenced everything he has done since with Superman, Batman now. I think that's really interesting and something I realized today when processing through all of this.
And aside from that, it's just like, I haven't even seen the movie, but just reading his comments, it's like, have some class.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you directed a movie and kind of took some liberties with it and people aren't really happy, but take the high road. Don't be a jerk about it, you know? I mean, just at its base, like, what he said was so rude and just, I have no respect for the guy.
And at the end of his comments, it sounded like he tried to, like, add some positivity, you know, like you have your own opinion and you think of it the way you want, but he almost seemed passive aggressive by the way he ended his comments by saying, you know, if you want to think it's all good, great. If you want to think they don't steal, rob, and kill, that's great. You don't want to think they embezzle, that's great. But, you know, he's like, you're pretty much saying you're wrong for thinking that, but, you know, whatever, you can keep thinking that way.
Yeah. Well, and I think comic book fans there are plenty of stories out there that deal with those sorts of issues and that expose a lot of, you know, what's terrible in the world and to tackle really heavy subjects.
Right.
It's not, you know, the 50s where everything is sunshine and roses, but it always tails back to the roots of that character and that moral high ground, that morality always ends up triumphing in the end, at least with like your Batmans, your Supermans, they always find some shed of hope in there. So it's that, like I said, that it's an escape for a lot of people. And you're essentially stripping that away and saying, no, this character's like this. He would have been like this. It's like, we know realistically how this person would have been, but I don't want to deal in reality right now. Like these I want to escape from reality.
Yeah, they're tethered to fiction. Yeah. So like you still have to be in that fictional world.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a good point. And I'll be honest, you know, Batman vs. Superman, I love that movie. I know a lot of people have a lot of problems with it. I know it's flawed, but I really enjoy watching it. Just watched it a couple weeks ago, actually. And, you know, and what I will say, too, is, you know, growing up, I always thought to myself, well, if Batman, you know, like when he locks Joker up or whatever, you know, it's, but then Joker's just going to get out again from Arkham Asylum or what have you. It's like, you know, you can't help but thinking like, if you just killed him, he wouldn't have to worry about him anymore, you know, but then you go back to, okay, well, yeah, it's Batman. Like he's better than me. He's supposed to be better than me. So, you know, he has this morality, this moral high ground that he's not willing to step off of. And so it doesn't upset me that he had this, like, that Zack Snyder had this different vision for Batman. It just, it upsets me the way he went about it after all these years, you know, and now he's just slapping the fans in the face, it feels like. So, but anyways, we'll go on to something a little more high noted. A few days back, as you guys know, we're gearing up for Godzilla King of Monsters to come out this year. Where Godzilla is going to take on a plethora of his well-known villains. So I don't know who started this conversation, but back in the 70s, there was actually a crossover between where Marvel gained the rights to Godzilla in the comics. And turns out it was like a 24-issue series where Godzilla and the Avengers crossed over. And Godzilla is like basically Godzilla is like destroying the town, and the Avengers have to gear up and fight him and take him down. So because of that, again, I'm not sure who started the conversation, but the director of Godzilla King of Monsters has said that he's really interested in getting a crossover movie. What do you guys think of that? That has me excited. I think it's very unlikely, but how awesome would that be?
I think that's money. Yeah. I think you're printing money at that point.
It sounds hilarious to me, to be honest. I think it's very goofy. I think in order to make that movie well, you'd have to have some genius writers. Otherwise, it's just going to look like a cash grab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, yeah, what if they did like a Jumanji thing, like a Jumanji reboot where it's a parody almost?
Yeah.
I
who said it had to be serious, right?
Right, yeah. I actually really thought it was a fun idea, like given the current MCU and like given the current direction with Godzilla. So I kind of feel silly for not approaching it. But
No.
I think
I'm with you.
I just feel like there's no way to make that movie with you know, like with how the movies with Godzilla are doing it. Like Godzilla's the hero,
right?
And the Avengers and all of them are heroes. So like you wouldn't have, if it's them facing each other in a serious movie, like you would have just that complete split in the audiences of the franchises, I think.
Sure.
So like if they did it more comedically, I think they could get away with it. Like, you know, for some reason, Jack Black is Iron Man, because I'm fixated on that now. I want to see it really bad. He like formulates this plan to attack Godzilla, and it goes like completely off the walls, and Godzilla just like smacks him around or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it would be good that
so,
way.
Jeff, like past how weird it would be of a combination. Wouldn't it be cool if like after Thanos and all these like threats from the sky, there's one from below? You know what I mean? What are you laughing at, Jake?
Hades from Hercules?
It just sounds so funny to me. I don't know. Well, I guess I get it. I mean, I'm not denying it wouldn't be a fun movie to watch. Like, I'd go see it, but I don't know.
Sure.
I just can't. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine taking it seriously like I would the other Marvel movies. But
I guess,
you guys are saying, we might not have to.
Right. I guess what I was getting excited about is the potential. What I was looking at it from a very visual standpoint, like in terms of the Avengers across the city, and you've got Godzilla, who looks like one of the more formidable threats, like especially with what they're able to do visually in the previous movies, and then the potential of bringing in, you know, Mothra and King Ghidorah, and stuff like that. I'm just looking at more of like a visual. I guess it visually it would be more fun if they were to reboot it in the comic books.
Well,
and I think that would be able to reconcile a lot of silliness we're seeing at a potential movie. Is like maybe since I'm coming at it from a visual standpoint, maybe it would work better as like a comic series or something.
Disney, it could work as a Disney Pixar movie. You could do an animated movie. That way you can have Jack Black as Iron Man, and it's a comedic take, and it won't be super jarring to the moviegoer. Just have him voice Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, you can change it up voices wise without having that jarring transition over to, say, different actors, even if it's comedic, different actors playing these established characters. Just make it an animated movie. They're releasing Ninja Turtles versus Batman as an animated movie.
Really?
What?
Yeah. I just watched the trailer for that. So just make it an animated movie. You can sell kids' toys with these animated characters.
No, I'm not okay. I'm a little blown away by this news. These crossovers are blowing my mind.
Well, I mean, I guess the Justice League crossed over with Power Rangers in the comics. So, in either one of those mediums, I think it would work better.
You just make it a Disney Pixar movie, and you don't even have to do a new comic book. You don't have to recast the real life actors. Just make it an animated movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. That's going to happen. Like, these crossovers we're joking about, they're going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah.
Back when comics were the main source of entertainment, they happened, you know, like the ones we just talked about. So why wouldn't they, once these movies get like dry, why wouldn't they start to do crossovers? Because it's gonna pay to do so.
Yeah. Well, in like cartoons and comic books, any sort of animation, I feel like, is virtually limitless in what you can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I feel like that'd be the best avenue for those sorts of crossovers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just, Tony Stark just like looks out his window of the Avengers Tower, and Godzilla and King Ghidorah are holding hands walking into the city.
Godzilla's scratching his butt with a helicopter.
King Ghidorah doesn't have hands, so I guess he'd be holding his tail or something.
Holding his neck or something, I don't know. He'd be like, you guys are my best friends, talking to Ghidorah.
And then he like trips and like takes down a tower, and that's when they attack him.
He's like, yeah, that's not good.
If we're not allowed to destroy the city, then neither are you.
It was an accident. And they start shooting at him.
Okay, well, I think we've extended that. So, last piece of our news of nerdom this week, the official reviews for Shazam are in.
Yes.
Nice.
They're really positive, actually. I don't know if you guys had a chance to kind of read up on it, but I got a few quotes here. So the Hollywood Reporter, mind you, these are a little paraphrased, but the Hollywood Reporter said, although he's been around for 7 decades, youngsters finally have a new family-friendly hero to call their own. Cool. And so they're just kind of talking about, you know, someone out of the mainstream, a superhero we haven't seen yet. So yeah. USA Today said, so many moments that unfold in this film will have you smiling from ear to ear. Shazam is an absolute gem. And then even Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 97% score.
Holy cow.
Nice.
Yeah. Which,
well, that's dropped down a little bit with a couple more reviews. It's at, like, I think 93 right now, but still.
Above a 90 is incredible.
Very well received by critics.
Still,
so far.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, what on Rotten Tomatoes, what is the difference between fresh and rotten? Like, what's the, is it like 70%, 75% or something like that is where it goes from?
I thought 60 was, I thought anything below 50 was rotten.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's, no idea. I think it's like in school, like anything below 60 is like rotten, I think, but I know if it's like above 90 or 95, it's like certified fresh or whatever.
Yeah,
well, that's good. Then that gets me really excited to see it.
So, for people that don't know what Rotten Tomatoes is it fair to say that more often than not, most movies end up on the rotten side of things?
Most movies in general, or? Cause like I know a lot of people use that like.
I'm saying like the ones that you like you enjoy, like.
Oh,
you
I
can name a couple movies that you know did really well in theaters, but didn't do so hot in Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I find more often than not a lot of movies that I like are pretty rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. I am not like other people, and I don't regard their word as gospel. So, like, I know a lot of people look at Rotten Tomatoes scores as, like, their end-all, be-all, like, decision maker.
Yeah.
I don't. So I tend to like what I want to like because I like it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Rotten Tomatoes tends to, on some movies that a lot of people like, the low scores, and some people, a lot of movies that people didn't even see their high scores. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of a give and take sometimes. Mm-hmm.
We excited to see it.
I'm incredibly excited.
In a few weeks.
So very excited to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. All right. Well, that concludes our News of Nerdom for this week. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to jump into our topic, Cartoon Network cartoons. Proper Gentleman Podcast.
Yeah, there's a song about it in the movie The Stupids. I don't know if you want to rent that movie. It's probably not.
It's not just not, a clever
it's
title.
Not, it's not certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
no, it's pretty stupid.
I'll take your word for it.
It's got 90s heartthrob Tom Arnold in it.
Tom Arnold, you say?
Yes.
Bug Hall.
Tom Arnold.
Alfalfa from The Little Rascals.
Alfalfa. There was a girl from a Malcolm in the Middle episode.
Yeah. You mean Bug Hall?
Bug Hall. Yeah. Bug Hall, who also was in The Big Green, a overrated kids movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you were going to say it was great. Because I saw that one once.
I'm
I was
not
like,
saying
it's not terrible.
It's fine. It's I just rushed. Watched it recently, and I was like, I feel like this is definitely trying to capitalize on the trend of the day of like the underdog kids.
It has its audience if you grew up with it, you know, but it's just the whole movie's rushed.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, we're gonna jump into our topic for the week.
The Big Green.
The Big Green.
Our main topic.
Yes. Yeah. We decided to switch it while recording.
Last minute. Why they always make the fat kid the goalie? That's my thoughts.
Are you done?
Sorry.
All right. So anyways, we're going to jump right into our topic of the week, Cartoon Network. For those of you out there that are around the same age as us, you would know that Cartoon Network was a huge part of our childhood. Some more than others, it sounds like, from what you guys just kind of told me over the week while we're talking about this. But just some brief history here before we kind of talk about the different shows that we know. Cartoon Network is actually way younger than Nickelodeon. So launched back in 1992. Mm-hmm. And actually it was part of the Ted Turner Productions, which mm-hmm. I did not know. Yeah. So I'm not sure if you guys knew that. But
Yep.
We got smart boys here, Zach.
Yeah, sounds like I'm the wrong one to host it then. Anyways.
No.
I'm just kidding. So yeah, it was launched back in 1992, and the first ever episode slash show to air was Rhapsody Rabbit, which is a mostly pantomime short starring Bugs Bunny, who's, I didn't read up on it, but I think he's learning to play the piano in front of a crowd or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say learning how to speak.
Sorry. It's just him screaming for 10 minutes.
Because bunny rabbits, like, scream. They're like, ah! Just look it up on YouTube.
Undoctored footage.
That's what it was. That was the first thing they ever aired. So yeah, and the network ran majorly on reruns, as you know, Stephen kind of mentioned. Nickelodeon did last, which wouldn't most channels. They're not going to have their own content to start out.
Yeah. And they with the because just to kind of add on to the history there, Ted Turner purchased the MGM library.
Yeah,
so he got a lot of those old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Yeah. So they definitely had a lot in their vault to choose from.
They definitely had a lot more mass appeal type stuff than Nickelodeon did. Yeah.
Yep. So they had reruns at their disposal, such as Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies. Becoming the first ever 24-hour channel with animation as its main theme.
Nice.
Which is also... Ted Turner also started CNN, which is a 24-hour news channel. So they found something that works.
Yeah.
But anyways, what'd you say?
Nobody said anything.
Oh.
You were talking to your wife.
Keeping that in?
Yeah. Are you talking to somebody else? Huh? It's the Great Gazoo from Flintstones.
That's a good pull too, because they played the Flintstones.
Yeah,
I just love Steven's reaction though. Huh? Just looks down to the side.
I'm sorry, Zach. We keep getting sidetracked. Yeah,
I'm losing control of this. It's fine. But yeah, so anyways, 24-hour channel with cartoons running. And down the line, they progressively launched cartoon series that we all know and love, such as, you know, Dexter's Laboratory, Johnny Bravo, and Chicken, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Powerpuff Girls, and then Courage the Cowardly Dog, which I didn't watch. I don't know about you guys.
I liked that show, the spooky feel.
Yeah,
it was
scared
cool,
me too.
Yeah. Other than that, I didn't
Certain
really watch
episodes
it.
Freaked me out, and then the rest just grossed me out.
Yeah. You know, a quick piggyback onto the history as well. Those started as shorts as part of this series called What Cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because it's like Nickelodeon in that they had that, you know, vault of cartoons that they were playing full time. And then you could have the creator-driven content, which is what cartoons was, which is like Dexter and Johnny Bravo and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that sort of morphed and evolved into those, you know, full-length series. So a lot of parallels between Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, like what we talked about last week.
I actually had that in my notes, but I decided to skip over it, and you touched on it too. So you are the co-pilot to my hosting, sir.
Matt's the host now.
Yeah. Take it over, Matt.
Now. Take it away.
Off to you.
Take him away, toys.
Take it away. All right. Well, let's just dive right into it. I mean, what was your favorite shows? Like, you know, of maybe I mentioned them, maybe I didn't. Like, you know, when you think Cartoon Network, what's the first show that comes to your mind?
I think
there's two that come to my mind that will always come to my mind, because not only did I watch them a lot as a kid, I've revisited them as an adult, and they're just, it's like we talked about in Nickelodeon, when you revisit them now, you just find more depth. Mm-hmm. And just more kind of how they were tongue-in-cheek, kind of reaching that adult audience too, and that's Dexter and Johnny Bravo.
Yep.
If I were to pick one of them, I'd probably pick, probably by a hair, Dexter, because also Dexter had like the funny offshoot, like little shorts, like
Justice Friends,
the Justice Friends, and Dial M for Monkey. The Justice Friends was funny. Who was that? And Dee Dee had her like imaginary friend, who was like this big, like dumb dinosaur type character.
I can't.
The Huffalumpagus or whatever.
Yeah, he had like a heart on his stomach.
It's like, ugh.
I can't think of the mythological place of Valhalla without thinking of Val Halen. Val Halen from Justice Friends.
Yeah, or the Imbraggable Krunk. Yes. But the biggest thing with them is it's not so much showing them as heroes, it's showing them, the three of them, living in a one room, one bedroom apartment, dealing with like stuff, you know, dealing with everyday woes. And then a lot of times they get beat. Like one of the episodes I remember the most is just the Imbraggable Krunk is eating chips and he gets a chip stuck in his gums. And that's the whole episode. So I'd say just barely by a hair is Dexter, because of, you know, the tongue-in-cheek, more adult stuff, but also those offshoot shorts like
Dial M for Monkey and Justice Friends.
And the Justice Friends,
Yeah.
Whenever I think of Cartoon Network, Dexter's Lab is always the first thing I think of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was just going to touch base on that, what Steven was saying.
Yeah, I would actually agree. Like, the first show that comes to my mind is Dexter's Lab, because that was the first one I was introduced to.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's the one that everybody brings up too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You just can't not talk about Dexter's Lab when you're talking about Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. My favorite one, it's so hard. It was hard for me to pick because, you know, I watched a lot of Nickelodeon, but I watched a ton of Cartoon Network because every show I loved. My favorite was definitely Ed, Edd n Eddy, because it was so good. It was so funny to me, and it was all about kids not having to go to school until the third season, or, you know, eventually they had to go to school, but they're all just trying to get candy, and they're making these ridiculous ways to try and make, what was it, like a quarter?
Yep.
And so it was just hilarious to me. Every single episode I loved, so. That would be my favorite.
I can remember when we were kids, I wasn't allowed to watch Ed, Edd n Eddy. My dad walked in at a unfortunate time when, what was the bossy one, Ed?
Eddie. Yeah.
Oh, it's Eddie. Okay. Eddie said like stupid or shut up or something like really rude. So dad was like,
stupid,
no more
shut
of that.
Up.
Hey, stupid, shut up. Shut up, stupid.
Zach, turn this off. Shut up, stupid. Go get me a jawbreaker.
But I can remember Jake saying like, oh, Ed, Edd n Eddy's on. Let's go watch it. And I'm like, I can't watch that show. As if my dad was going to like jump through the window. What are you watching? With his belt in his hand.
I'm here to pick up my son early. What are you watching?
I'm here to pick up my angel.
Yeah. Where's my favorite son? What are you watching?
I mean, you can't argue with Dexter's Lab.
Mm-hmm.
I think Johnny Bravo, to me, probably was my favorite, just because it was the first time you'd see like the overly confident, braggadocious, like muscular, hunky character just completely fall on his face every single time. So it was always funny to me to see how he was rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny at one point, I was like, all right, come on, he's got to, you know, you win some, you lose some. He's losing a lot. Like, like he's got to at some point, you know, you're rooting for Johnny, but you know, he's a sleaze. So, so the side characters,
he's a sleaze.
Exactly. The side characters in there were really funny. And plus, like, his voice was always really funny to me.
Yeah.
And then as I watched it when I was older, like some of the names he would call the little girl and stuff, and like just some of his wisecracks I thought were really funny. So, you know, Dexter and Johnny Bravo trade off for me, just because of those are tentpole franchises from Cartoon Network. You can't think of Cartoon Network without thinking of those two shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think those two kind of trade off for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely Ed, Edd n Eddy. Yeah. That was just my show. I loved it. I remember I went to like a summer day camp at the local civic center growing up, and it was the summer right before we got cable, and I remember hearing my friends talk about Ed, Edd n Eddy and like the concept of it, and I remember because I always tried to believe that I didn't need cable to be entertained, so I would like turn my nose up at kids that would watch cable.
Sesame regularly. Street's hilarious.
Yes. Arthur is better than everything you just said. So there. Yeah.
I don't need a crutch.
No, but like I just tried to like ignore kids talking about stuff like that, and I remember them talking about Ed, Edd n Eddy, and I was like, that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
And then I got cable and I was just like hooked on it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved just the whole, you know, it's kids during summer, they've got a whole day in front of them, they're scheming on how to make a quarter for a jawbreaker, and like those ridiculously cartoonish huge jawbreakers bigger than their heads and stuff.
Yeah.
Like just all of that, and Ed with the 1D Ed, just him being goofy and like a simpleton was just hilarious to me. So I could go back today and probably watch any episode and be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can remember like Cartoon Network cartoons they were just as silly and funny as Nickelodeon shows, but a different type of silly. Like when SpongeBob is diving off his bed into his pants, you know, there's a part in an episode of Dexter's Lab that comes to mind where it's like picture day at school,
yeah,
and he always dreads picture day, and then it flashes back. His mom says something like, "Dexter, we don't want a repeat of last year," and it like flashes back to him, like with his back to the camera, and he like looks back with like this cheesy smile, like.
I remember that.
it's just like funny little silly moments like that. It was the difference in Cartoon Network cartoons and Nickelodeon cartoons for me.
Yeah, it also seems like they also were ahead of Nickelodeon in terms of not just doing silly cartoons, like still having kids as a figurehead, but like Codename Kids Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like a spy show with kids, and essentially in the technology they used was surrounded, you know, it never got too advanced to where you're like, how did kids get this? Or like the situations, and they adapted certain situations to make sense, kind of like Rugrats, to make sense for babies to be going through, to make sense for kids to be going through.
Kind of,
And it's the same thing with like Powerpuff Girls too. Like there was silliness in that show, but sort of
it's a superhero show.
Yeah,
with
it's a three
female leads.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're little girls.
Stuff like that, and like Samurai Jack. Just diversity.
Samurai Jack.
Of all those shows too. And like the. Yeah, like just the different genres that they were able to handle on one network, whereas like, you know, Nickelodeon, it was all good stuff, but for me, something always felt very Nickelodeon-esque when I watched it compared to Cartoon Network that just had that wide array of different genres.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which made their website super fun to go to as well.
Yes.
Did you guys go to the Cartoon Network website a bunch?
All the time.
Oh, yeah. Because
they had so many
games and everything that you could play.
Yeah, there was like a Powerpuff Girls snowboarding game that was awesome on there.
The one that we played, like pretty much, I would have like fun playing other games, but the one I played the most was this Bugs Bunny football game.
Yeah.
It was like Bugs versus Daffy's team, but I say team like very loosely because it was just Bugs, and you're just trying to maneuver through these moving big lugs who are on the defense, and you're just trying to get in the end zone, and I loved that game.
Yeah, I think there was a Billy Mandy game on there as well that like during Halloween was kind of spooky, so that one was kind of fun
to play.
There's
a Scooby-Doo game like
Scooby.
That too.
So yeah, and that's the advantage that Cartoon Network to me had was all of their Hanna-Barbera cartoons as well.
Yes.
Because as like eventually what they would do with like Space Ghost, they would sort of mold that in their image and use that and make a silly show. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, Boomerang. You know, that Boomerang cartoon block that eventually turned into a whole channel. Boomerang had, like, all those old, great Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Mm-hmm. I loved Boomerang so much.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted that. Like, I remember I begging my parents to, like, upgrade our cable so that we could have the Boomerang channel.
Yeah.
Because those old cartoons are timeless. They're so good.
Tom and Jerry for hours.
Yes. Well, I'll give kind of a story. Zach, did you get to say your favorite Cartoon Network show?
It was Dexter, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You guys touched on it. Yeah.
So, like, here's an example of how much staying power that those old cartoons have. Not just, you know, the Flintstones, or you throw in Scooby-Doo, or the Jetsons.
Wacky Races.
You know, you could run down the list of old school Hanna-Barbera. But I was watching, this was a few years ago, this is probably like 2014, our grandparents were over for some reason. I think they were picking our sister up for something. And I remember Looney Tunes was on, and there was a Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner short that came on. I love Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Like Bugs Bunny, the Bugs Bunny Daffy sub Elmer Fudd. I love it. It's great. Wile E. Coyote is my favorite. Mm-hmm. The stuff with Roadrunner. Yeah. And, I'm just sitting there, and myself and my grandpa are cracking up at the same slapstick stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it's timeless. The hijinks that the Roadrunner puts Wile E. Coyote through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, not just with that, but it's so applicable to just any of the shows.
It's just silliness.
On Boomerang.
Yeah, it's just silliness. And I think that transcends generations, just being silly and goofy.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, Steven. Like, same thing with Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. That has a special place in my heart because my dad and I would go to the video store back when that was a thing, back before Redbox, and rent a VHS tape of Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, just all that. And like, I think we probably rented that like 4 or 5 times because he introduced me to it. And I'm like, this is what we have to watch forever now. This is great. So yeah, that's
this is the only movie we can watch.
Exactly.
But yeah, that one is just one of my favorites of all time for sure.
If there would be nothing on TV, like I'd be kind of a night owl when I was in college, and like I was like, all right, well the Full House run on Nick at Night is done, so but I'm not ready to go to bed. And I was like, put on Boomerang.
Yeah.
You know, the Flintstones are on
Popeye.
Popeye, Tom and Jerry, and then they'll show
getting Popeye's chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
But like
love
quick
that
then
chicken.
Then everything they throw in Quick Draw McGraw or Huckleberry
Snagglepuss.
Hound, Snagglepuss. Just they had Hanna-Barbera had so much great stuff that started out as like that was Cartoon Network was all Hanna-Barbera
stuff.
It's
cool that they kept it there. They didn't kick it out, boot it to the side.
They gave it its own station.
Pretty much.
And what's funny is, you know, 5 years from now, we could see Dexter on Boomerang.
I just wanted a DVD set of Dexter's Lab. I don't know if that's possible. But
yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now that we're
is.
Talking about it, I want to watch all the episodes again.
Yeah.
They used to be on Netflix. They were on Netflix a few years ago for a little bit. And I remember with our older sister and older brother were over for something. One of our older sisters and older brother. And all of us were just in the living room, and we all were just cracking up at Dexter's Lab.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of when we were kids and they were teenagers. Because with Nickelodeon, there was definitely an age to where it kind of peered off with them watching Nickelodeon and enjoying it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon Network, we all stayed with it because of just our sister loved Powerpuff Girls, and she was an 18-year-old, you know, 17, 18-year-old girl, and she loved Powerpuff Girls, and then our brother loved watching Dexter and Johnny Bravo with us, and our sister did too. It's just the appeal.
They pitched it as that too, like all along, you know, especially when these shows started coming out, they literally quote unquote said they were a less socially responsible cartoon channel than Nickelodeon, so they're pitching to a wider, more adult audience too. I mean, it wasn't just for kids, you know. I can remember my dad just rolling on the floor at all these cartoons.
Like, especially in Regular Show and Adventure Time, like you know,
kind of the new evolution universe.
Even the most recent ones, like those cartoons grew with us rather than, like, because we were talking about with Nickelodeon, we kind of had to peter off of that one. It was just like it wasn't aimed towards us anymore. But like Cartoon Network shows stayed amazing. Like I can remember, I haven't stopped watching it. Like I know I've watched almost all of Adventure Time. Mm-hmm. Steven Universe is still so good. It's amazing how these shows have kind of grown with us, and they have a humor that kind of sticks with us. Even growing up, like into my teenage years, there was like Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Codename Kids Next Door. These shows were still great. Even like, I think Camp Razzle.
Marvelous Medicine. Adventures of
Flapjack. Teen Titans was incredible.
Flapjack was pretty funny.
Chowder.
Chowder. Yeah, I get Flapjack and Chowder mixed up.
I didn't like Chowder.
I liked Flapjack a little bit. Camp Lazlo was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Little brother watched that one.
Yes, Camp Lazlo. Mm-hmm.
These are all such good shows. Like, the writing stayed great.
Yeah.
Like, and naturally laughing at them.
Fun fact about Camp Lazlo that I didn't realize until I was looking it up today in preparation for this episode. I didn't realize it was the same creator as Rocko's Modern Life.
Really?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's awesome.
And now that I heard that, I was like, oh, that tonally fits perfectly with Rocko's Modern Life. The creator said that Lazlo was a short idea that he wanted to do during Rocko's Modern Life, but Nickelodeon always like turned him down on that, so he just, you know, he held on to that idea for years and ended up making its own show and pitching it to Cartoon Network.
That's
awesome. Like Jake said, we grew with it, and I think especially the 90s stuff, that writing, the more universal writing, was so deliberate. Mm-hmm. I feel like instead of every now and then you hear kind of like a crude joke that only your parents or teenage siblings would laugh at. You know, you'd hear that every now and then from Nickelodeon. Cartoon Network, you had something in Dexter's lab, at least like between his parents or a situation Dexter was in every episode to where you rewatch them now and you're like, oh, I see what you did there.
Right. Yep.
That's funny.
Plus it grows with you too, because Toonami was on really late at night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was a bit more mature. Ugh. And then Adult Swim is caters more towards us now.
Yeah.
So they find they're, even though so they hit a bit of a snag. Yeah.
Can I explain what those are real quick for our listeners that may not know? So basically Cartoon Network, where Nickelodeon would do like a Nick Jr., you know, in the mornings, you know, or a SNICK. We talked about SNICK last week, or, you know, what's Saturday Night Nick. Cartoon Network kind of just had these different blocks to appeal to a wider brand of cartoons. And so they'd segment certain pieces of the day to offer kind of the wider brand with, like, slot titles that they would treat as, like, separate channels, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which, actually, some of them, Matt, you touched on it earlier, Boomerang became its own channel at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, you know, Boomerang, which Matt's mentioned, which had like, you know, throwback shows, Looney Tunes, Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry. You know, there was Toonami, which we just talked about, which we'll dive into a little more in a minute, which was anime focused. Like all their anime cartoons were on that block, which was, that ran from about like,
It was like I think midnight to five originally was what it,
right.
Well, it
what
ran, it was. It ran after school too.
No, it originally was after school.
Yeah. Yeah, it was after school.
Yeah.
No, Toonami was originally midnight to five, and then they moved it to more of an afternoon block, right, so more kids and people could see the anime and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Because originally it was
mature cartoons. Right. Yeah. I'm talking about what we know it as, you know, what we remember it as. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless, and then Adult Swim, which is, you know, that's adult programming, and you know, the anime you talked about with no editing whatsoever. Like we touched on in our Dragon Ball Z episode, where you know, there was like in Dragon Ball Z, there's blood shown sometimes and stuff, which would get edited during the day, but at night, you know, they just kind of played it as is. So let's dive into that right now.
Yeah,
because that was a big part of my childhood too. I mean, that was. What I felt like were the adult shows that I watched, even though they were cartoons. Well, Jake, Toonami, I know you're a big fan.
Oh, my goodness. I watched so much Toonami. Like, after school was one of my favorite times. I mean, you get out of school. But also, I loved going home to watch Toonami. There's so many animes. I haven't watched them in so long. And if I think back, like, I'm just now remembering like Zoids. And like Zoids was so good. I haven't seen it in forever. But that's where I saw like all the episodes of Dragon Ball Z. That's where I was introduced to Yu Yu Hakusho, Rurouni Kenshin,
so much
Cyborg 009, all of these huge animes. Like in
Cow
older,
and Chicken.
Stay in your lane. Just like old animes that I think was Trigun on Toonami?
Yes.
Like all of these Voltron. Classic animes that are like staples in Japanese animation, we were introduced to, you know, way later, like way after they've come out. It was so funny.
Cyborg 009, like you talked about, I looked it up. It was made back in the 60s.
Yeah. And you can tell by the animation.
Yeah,
it's
Voltron
so old.
Was on there too.
Mm-hmm. Could have fooled me. Yeah. I didn't recognize it as a child.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. And a lot of my friends at school, not even just my friends, everyone was talking about like, hey, you know, we're going to go home watch Toonami today. Like, you know, have you seen the new episode of Yu Yu Hakusho? Yep. And like everyone was into anime and everyone loved that block of, you know, three hours after school to go home and watch it. Because it was like violent. It was cool. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, not condoning violence, but, you know, that's where we watched
it. Come on.
It's exciting. It's different.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I'm just an anime nerd, so.
Yeah. Sure. And as you said, you know, the afternoon, I do know exactly what you guys are talking about when you said 3:30 to 6:30, because now, like, I remember that. Mm-hmm. I think it did move to that when Adult Swim was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's one of those things, and I mentioned it in the Dragon Ball Z episode, how, like, I wasn't a big fan of anime growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got to grow on me a little bit. So I remember Toonami being one of those things, like, I remember the advertisements for it, but all I thought of it was, I was like, oh, that's the anime hours of programming. So when I was a kid, I was like, oh, well, those are the hours not to watch Cartoon Network, at least for me. That's just...
Oh, that's the weird kid shows.
I'll swing back around at 7 when you show the new Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. I remember distinctly, like, walking home from school with my best friend in elementary school, either going to my house or his house right after school, and, like, trying to get there as soon as possible just so we didn't miss anything on Toonami, just because, you know... just everything about it, like the spaceship atmosphere of it, the robot host Tom.
Mm-hmm.
God, what was the AI's name?
Oh man,
on there too that Tom would talk to.
For some reason, I want to say Cerebro, but I know that's not true.
That's X-Men.
I know.
No,
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Remember her name. Yes, Professor X, Tom and Professor X. But just like those two as characters for the block of cartoons and animation, and yeah, I mean that's how I was introduced really to Dragon Ball Z, and it got me into that. And honestly, I would say like Dragon Ball Z is what hooked me into anime in general.
Yeah.
And I remember it was so funny, like in 5th and 6th grade when I was watching that, like watching Dragon Ball Z, and then for some reason Toonami had it set up at that point where it was Dragon Ball Z, and then they would do episodes of Dragon Ball, which is the first series in that franchise. So it's like, I enjoyed watching Dragon Ball, but at the same time I was like, you know, this is so weird because, you know, A, there's no tension because I know Goku's going to win because I've just watched him turn Super Saiyan 2 against Majin Buu. And just go Super Saiyan 3 after that. So there was like no tension and it was just a lot more silly. So like at the time I really hated it. But it's fun going back to it now and like rewatching it and enjoying it for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because I can remember, when they were like pumping that out, when it was first going to get shown on Toonami. I can remember Tom, the robot host, saying like, they were so cute when they were young, or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners. Well, it looks like we had a little bit too much fun with this episode, a little too many memories to go over in one sitting. So this is going to be part one, and we're going to have a part two coming at you next week. But if you still want to listen to a little more of the Proper Gentleman's podcast, our good friend Zach was on another podcast called the Crooked Table Podcast. There's an interviewer named Rob. He's really good at what he does. It's a great podcast, great listen. So go ahead and check that out. Until next time, stay proper.